Hey, yo, welcome back to an episode of Geeks and Turians. Me, your boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
And how are we doing today? So we got some news that we kind of want to talk about. This is one we have to, like, really, like, look back on and really, like, I wouldn't say deep research, but we have to, like, essentially, like, educate ourselves on this. Because it's a topic that I feel like we should have talked about a while back, but we never got to. And if, by the way, if you already read the title of this episode, you kind of already know where I'm going with. But it's the situation with Concord and the studio that made it, and how essentially Sony kind of fumbled the bag in a way that seems very, what's the right word to use? Terrifying. kind of messed up for a lot of, a lot of people who work in that industry.
Yeah, like, it's, in case you don't know, Concord was a multiplayer shooter game, kind of, I guess, like a hero shooter.
It was exactly a hero shooter.
Yeah, same vein like Overwatch and stuff, right? It came out earlier this year, but flopped spectacularly.
Which is, okay, so, like, I feel they announced this game, I swear, upon all that is holy, earlier this year.
You wouldn't be wrong into believing that. I believe the game itself, since I looked it up, was announced last year.
Ah, that's right.
May of last year, and it came out August of this year.
Really? It feels a lot shorter. Or maybe because, like, I think the big trailer was released earlier this year.
Yeah, probably.
I think that's,
like,
what it was.
Because I think from what I've looked at, it was just a CG trailer last year. But also, I think people sort of don't think of it that way because from, reports that this game was in development for 8 years, which is, if you want to look it up, that's when Overwatch 1 came out. So
Overwatch has been almost a decade now?
It came out in 2016, man.
What?
Summer 2016. I remember it as like it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
pretty much that's sort of
I mean, I guess we can start off with that, just like the development of it. So it being 8 years. This is one of those games that's really much a response to Overwatch, right? Because the hero what started the hero shooter? I know Overwatch popularized it, but I don't feel like it was the first one to do it.
Well, one would argue that maybe Team Fortress 2, because, I mean, hero shooter, I think, is definitely sort of a new term. Popped up over the years, simply because Team Fortress 2 is kind of considered like a predecessor, but it's more of like, because each character you play in the game has a specific class and does special abilities and stuff, right? That's kind of what when you break down what a hero shooter is, that's what it is. I think that's why people consider TF2 as like the predecessor, right? But I feel like a lot of games have always had like at least some sort of variation of that TF2, but
and like League is one that's not
not a hero shooter.
Well, no, but the aspect of League, of different characters having different abilities,
I think,
that's where I was kind of going with.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's sort of, I think, a hallmark of, say, from Overwatch to, like, a lot of the hero shooters that have come out after Overwatch, right? Because, I think, what was it, the makers of Borderlands make a hero shooter, kind of?
Yeah, that's what I was going to go to, because, like, there were two hero shooters that are coming out. One was Overwatch, and I think
Battleborn.
Yeah,
that one leaned more into the League in terms of like MOBA style gameplay of large map, the three lanes, you're pushing against mobs of enemies and stuff, right? But it also shared that hero shooter aspect of like, different characters with different abilities that do certain things, that sort of thing. I think it was like a video, I think it's the guy, Kroby Cat, I think, just talking, he's a dude on YouTube that makes a lot of, like, fun videos of, like, various, like, failed video game stuff.
Yeah.
So, watching that. And I think it was the other one made by Cliffy B, maker of the guy who made Gears of War. I think his his take on the hero shooter genre or whatever. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, but it was supposed to be like more edgy than like, you know, like kind of like Gears of War in terms of this blood and stuff, but like no one really cared about it.
Yeah. I mean, like, because the thing was like Overwatch had a beta. Probably because it was Blizzard, too, and that people were hyped about it.
Yeah, it was, like, the first new Blizzard game in, like, a really long time, so that sort of propelled a lot of hype for that game. You know, it's like, holy shit, a brand new Blizzard title. You know, you had the CG trailers and stuff that was, like, film quality.
The CG trailers were the ones that really, like, gave a lot of people, like, interest into, like, Overwatch. I remember a lot of people, especially whenever the new one released, like the Hanzo Genji one, that one was like super popular. Then the Bastion one, and then what other one was there that was really popular? Mercy was also one of those characters that just like blew the hell up.
Well, I mean, a lot of the Overwatch characters don't, but yeah, you know, it's that sort of like seeing that sort of success, you know, definitely drives a lot of other companies.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, Battleborn, I mean, granted, that came out around the same time, but
I think like a week after or two?
I want to say a month.
Was it a month?
I think it was a month. I can't remember specifically,
yeah,
but cause
it
seems like...
The thing about Battleborn is that it died immediately on arrival.
In launch, yeah. Yeah, and I remember. So, I think... I want to say... Because I think in my brain, like a month launch, I think. I don't know. Because it just seems a bit too close together in my brain.
I mean, yeah, you keep going. I'm gonna double check.
But yeah, you know, that's sort of, again, Overwatch is kind of credited with that like the big explosion of the hero shooter genre. I mean, I think there's other games like Paladins. I guess you could maybe call Apex Legends maybe a hero shooter, but that's more of a battle royale mixed with hero shooter elements, right? Of like each of your
Battleborn came out May 3rd, Overwatch May 24th.
Oh, so you had it reverse.
Yeah. It was 2 weeks.
2 weeks before Overwatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm guessing, you know, pretty much, I think your thinking is that, yeah, Battleborn probably didn't already have a launch, but then it died immediately when Overwatch came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably what you're thinking.
Yeah. No, but, you know, and the thing is, we did, you know, because of the popularity of Overwatch, yeah, we did have more hero shooters, but they never really reach the peak, and I think Concord is one of those things, you know, one of those truths about that sort of genre, is that it's kind of very much hard for it to launch, right?
Yeah, not just for hero shooter shooters, but just like multiplayer live service games in general, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like think about Fortnite, right? And like the subsequent other battle royales that came out after Fortnite.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of other games have battle royale modes, but they're not as either well liked or, you know, as popular. I mean, because I think off the top of my head, I mean, PUBG technically was the first battle royale game, right? Then Overwatch took, not Overwatch, Fortnite, you know, had their battle royale.
Because Fortnite was more accessible to everybody else.
Well, yeah.
Like, I remember when Fortnite first came out, I saw, like, kids playing it on their phone. And I'm like...
Well, yeah, because, I mean... You also got to remember, too, I think with Fortnite, it was originally supposed to be, like, a survival, like, game, I think. You had to build your base and stop, like, zombies and stuff, and then... You know, that didn't do well, and they had launched a Battle Royale mode just as, like, a fun, like, side thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, very quickly, Fortnite, with its unique mechanics and stuff, were like, oh, okay, this is... And, you know, it launched the Battle Royale genre skyward, right?
And it like, the only... Like, PUBG, Fortnite, and Apex are literally the only Battle Royale games I know that are still around. I feel like there have been other Battle Royale...
I mean, I feel like you're... Not talking about Modern Warfare.
Does Modern Warfare have a battle royale?
Yeah, the Call of Duty had its battle royale for like a long time. I think that's also been big. I mean, Call of Duty's always big, so you know that's always it was gonna be big no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Warzone? Yeah, that's the name of it, Warzone.
That's what it was.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, yeah, those four games, more or less, I feel like, control what is the Battle Royale scene now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to make a Battle Royale, you know, it's hard to get in and get a slice of the pie now that you have these four massive games
that sort of control the four space. Kings, as they say.
Sure, we can call it that if you want. I'm not going to stop you. I don't think anybody's trademarked that yet.
No.
But yeah, you know, it is one of those things, I think, just in game development in general, right?
Yeah, usually when it's the first ones to really start revolutionizing it, they're kind of like the ones that have a hold on it. Hence why I think Overwatch kind of like is kind of still the king of hero shooters.
Well, I mean, we can say that in terms of like,
but it's not the truest statement too, because Overwatch 1 had its issues, mostly the monetization of it.
Yeah, your loot boxes. I know the competitive scene also was just not in the best of states.
No.
I mean, nowadays when you look at it, Overwatch 2 came out, you know, promising PvE elements.
Story mode
didn't work out at all. They canceled that stuff. Heck, now they're going back to the 6v6 format that was in Overwatch 1 instead of the 5v5 they have now. So it's
they
like,
also, I didn't even realize this. They put so much restrictions into the gameplay itself too.
Yeah, you know, having to be like, hey, you need you can't do, because I mean, I think it was part of the competitive balance from the first game where there was just like unstoppable metas of like two tanks, two healers, and DPS, and it just became not fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Became boring. But yeah, no, just to get a bit back on topic in terms of Concord, though, I feel like, you know, all the stuff we're talking about, like making a game, especially a live service multiplayer game, and having it try to compete with these other well established things is hard. And, you know, when you have a game that's been in development for 8 years, you know, it almost feels like, you know, the game starts out with, okay, we want to compete with Overwatch, let's make an Overwatch,
mm-hmm.
or our own Overwatch, and, you know, with different things, but by the time you've taken 8 years to make this game, guess what? Overwatch isn't even the king of multiplayer shooters at this moment.
No, it's not.
Realistically, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not as popular, sure, but, like, hero genre itself is kind of in a bit of a...
It's a stagnant kind
stagnant
of thing.
Because
a lot of games would show up and die. And they tend not to last very long. Like, the closest one that I've paid attention to was... of course, it's going to come from me, is Gundam Evolution. Which was their, like... giant mech hero shooter based on the Gundam franchise, and that only lasted like a couple of months because it's funny because like a lot of people, I remember Moist Critical, I'm just throwing his name out there because I think he was a more notable like celebrity streamers to talk about the game that praised it very heavily because it was also coming around the same time as Overwatch 2.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't enough like stuff in it for people to be fully invested in it, and plus the monetization, which is a key factor with a lot of people's issues with like the hero shooter genre, it was one of the reasons why it kind of like died out.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like yeah, you're right in me saying overly stating that Overwatch is king, but because like that's not entirely true.
Well, yeah, because I feel like, it was the king.
Yeah.
But I think just in terms of the genre itself,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, how stuff was monetized, right? Like, hell, Overwatch 1 was a $60 game
mm-hmm.
that had loot boxes in it. Overwatch 2 did release free-to-play, but it got rid of the loot boxes, but I think from what I understand, people still aren't happy with how it's monetized.
No.
You know, like... it's kind of hard to get in-game credits to buy skins or whatever.
Even some of the skins aren't as cool as people want them to be. I always remember the Cowboy Bebop crossover.
Right. I believe, didn't...
they had, like... He's not McCree anymore.
Yeah, because...
yeah, let's not go into that.
Whole separate controversy episode.
To be fair, that's just Overwatch in general. There's nothing but controversy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think there's a lot of factors into it, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors why they decided to do a 2. But no, he was like Spike, supposed to be Spike Spiegel, and then that looked horrible.
Yeah, I mean, granted, there are some of those crossover skins that look pretty solid. I know they did the crossover with Transformers. That was pretty cool seeing, what was it, Reinhardt?
Yeah, as
Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
I mean, that works really
that
well.
That works really well.
But yeah, you know, it's, you know, anyways, right? Getting back to Concord a bit, right? You know, like, yeah, like we said earlier, like, it was, 8-year development, and sort of, like, I think that puts the game developers in a mindset of, like, competing with something that's popular at the moment, but then when you come out, you realize the thing that was popular isn't as popular anymore, meaning that you aren't, the game that comes out isn't gonna be competing with anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the whole genre that it was supposed to be competing in is kind of now stagnant, not as popular anymore. So therefore, leads to that game
Because of all the stuff that we've been saying, and you know, Sony, because this is a company that was bought by Sony for this game, right? Firewalk Studios was it?
Yes, yeah. Firewalk Studios, yeah. I believe,
was
the name.
Is they bought it for, I don't recall how much money, but it was a lot of money. To produce this game, and part of me wonders how often were they paying attention to the changing tide of hero shooters, right? Because like we've been mentioning before with monetization, all the other stuff that people have issues with it, and like the repeating nature of hero shooters not lasting very well. Do you think that's kind of where they were coming from? Because there was that article where they talked about how they kept getting a lot of overtly positive criticism. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I believe people were terming it as like toxic positivity.
Yes,
right?
that's the term, yes.
Yeah, and you know, from what I understand, because I think, because I have, you know, we did a bit of research, I think, individually.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, it definitely seemed more like a work culture of like, because a lot of people from the Firewalk Studios team, from what I understand, were former Bungie and Activision employees.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, I think, who knows, maybe they were working on Destiny or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, which is another like whole thing of like
looter
shooter genre stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can maybe talk a bit in like some other time or whatever, but yeah, you know, they have this, from what I understand, a rumored, like, oh, we are too big to fail kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, we are too good of a development team. We have a lot of good people. This is going to be a success no matter what happens.
Listen, we're responsible for both Call of Duty and Halo. How could we not know what a shooter game is?
And Destiny, yeah. We got this whole live service online thing now.
Say whatever you want about Destiny. The gameplay is actually fantastic. I'm not even joking about there. I actually still like the gameplay.
I mean, yeah, obviously, I think Destiny's kind of, I guess, in a weird spot.
Destiny is in a weird spot. I think they just finished up their whole, like...
Yeah, I think there's not really a whole lot for it left. And
yeah. I don't know where that's going.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that, because, I mean, I think people really have issues with the monetization, because I think people, when Destiny was with Activision, like, Bungie was with Activision making Destiny, right?
Mm-hmm.
People were like, oh, you know, this is why they do all these big, you know, like, expansions that cost, like, $40 or whatever, even though I paid, like, $60 already, you know, it's, like, Activision money grubbing. But then when Bungie and Activision split, so that Bungie could just develop Destiny as its own thing, people were like, oh, cool, maybe we get less monetization.
No, you get
even more monetization now.
Yeah.
It's like
which, like, okay, so the thing about once Concord was released, it was only released for 11 days.
Was it really 11 days?
It was 11 days. I am not kidding. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I think because it shut down in September, released in August, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the game was released 11 days. Refunded, by the way. Sony refunded a lot of the players who bought the game.
Right.
I don't recall if it was for digital. But I'm pretty sure it was digital.
It pretty, yeah, I would imagine it'd be pretty hard to get physical refunds, I guess. I guess unless Sony specifically like instructed people to, hey, go to your local retailer that you bought the game from, present, mm-hmm. like, have some documentation or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you'll get a refund.
It was the talk of the town, because, like, how do you kill a game that was only out for 11 days?
Well, I mean, it released to very historically low, like, numbers.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason, too, is that when you look at, like, some of the, you know, things with Concord, it had a reported budget of, like, $400 million.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that part.
Yeah, so it's, like, one of those things that, like, you see your player numbers. I don't know the specific numbers, but they were, like, less than... They didn't even get to, like, 1,000.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Damn.
I think they only reached, I don't know, like... Yeah, didn't even get to, like, 1,000 players. So, when you're launching a multiplayer hero shooter game
mm-hmm.
with that low of a base, you know, it's kind of one of those things of, like, well, you need to make up your money somehow. And from what I understand, Concord was not a free-to-play game. It was a, you had to pay $40 for it,
mm-hmm.
too. Which, I mean, that kind of is interesting, I guess.
Yeah.
When you think about it. Considering how even Overwatch 2, when it came out, went free-to-play, because it seems like that's sort of the model you want to do.
Yeah.
When it comes to a lot of these live service games, you know, like, launches free-to-play. Right? Because then that helps it be easier to sell your cosmetics or your microtransactions or whatever, because it's like, oh, I'm playing this game free.
Yeah.
Therefore, it makes it easier for the consumer to go, like, I can spend maybe $1 or $2 getting a skin or a sticker or whatever, you know? Right? Because, I mean, it does seem like nowadays gamers are oftentimes like, I paid $70. Why do I have to pay another $5 for a costume that I like, or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And, like, what is with the rise of pricing and all that BS?
Yeah.
And
you know?
It's... The issue is always been, like we've been saying for the last four or so minutes, is that hero shooters are kind of in this weird spot where they're very stagnant. None of them have come up with a different method to change up the game. And now are kind of in this perpetual limbo of not seeing much success out of.
Yeah.
And like, before you say anything, Sony did have to bank so much on this that until like a few days ago they announced the shutdown.
Yeah, you know, but I was going to say, granted, you still have other games that are coming out, like Marvel Rivals.
Which is apparently doing very well.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that actually officially out? Cause
I think it's officially out now.
I mean, I'll look.
Or I might
it.
Be thinking of like the fact that it's still like an open out beta or whatever. But no. I mean, there's still some games that are like are catching attention, but the question has always been, will they be able to last long enough? Because again, the big issue is continuously player based. I mean, granted, whenever a game comes out, you have the high number player base, but oftentimes a lot of people tend to fizzle out because they just kind of want to focus on a different game or slash not enough time or, you know, aren't really happy with it, whatever, you know, factors you want to add to it. But usually what you ideally want is to have a high set of numbers at the start, right?
You want to retain the largest amount of players you possibly can to keep it going, and as well as hopefully expand that number, right? Especially when it comes to a live service game, right? I also looked it up. Marvel Rivals comes out later this year in December.
Then they're probably still playing like enough, like a...
Well, I think there was probably a closed beta earlier, you know, but from, like you were saying, there's been a lot of positive feedback about that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think mainly because of, like, I think there's, like, certain cool things. Like, I know if you play Hulk, you can, like, destroy parts of the environment, which is new, which is different. Right?
Yeah.
That is, you know...
That changes up the game. There's a lot of characters that apparently can do that, too.
Yeah, so again, it's like, cool. You're adding stuff that is fundamentally different from other hero shooter games. Hey, it's like kind of like why I think people kind of like Battlefield more than Call of Duty, because Battlefield has always sort of pushed one, obviously, like, large-scale games. Like, you have, like, 64 players or whatever, how many like a lot of players on a server or a map or whatever.
Yeah.
That you can just straight up simulate like an actual large scale war compared to Call of Duty's like very smaller, enclosed
mm-hmm.
sort of fights and stuff. But they all, but Battlefield also likes to do like the destructibility of like the environment. So adding destructible environment into a shooting game, you know, that's kind of cool. That's very unique. So, you know, and it fits with a lot of characters, say like Hulk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, to get back a little bit on Concord. Yeah, it's just one of those crazy things when you look at it that just the
Sony's,
amount of money that
yeah.
was poured into this game.
Like, you, like I was talking about this with Daniel, right, the other day, and he's like, the only thing we're going to remember Concord is that one show from Amazon Prime.
That's not even related to Concord, actually. The game, right? Or
no, because do you remember that one show that about video games that they're coming out with?
Oh, okay, I think I remember.
No, they're having they have an episode dedicated to Concord.
Mm.
And that's the only thing we're going to get that's new.
No, okay.
That's the crazy thing about it.
Yeah, and I guess, because it is weird, because when you look at some of the stuff when it comes to
mm-hmm.
Concord, like, Sony was hoping that it would be a massive franchise, hopefully on the scale of Star Wars, which I think is also kind of a, like, one of those, like, corporate things where people were like, we want to make the next big thing, but it's like, it's hard to make the next big thing. And to set such lofty expectations for your new project that, I mean, like, to be honest with you, like, for me personally, even, like, as much as, like, I grant I don't follow, like, gaming news sites or whatever all the time, but, like, I feel like as someone who owns a PlayStation 5, right,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, like, I felt like, weirdly enough, like, PlayStation usually likes to market their next big titles and stuff, right?
They do.
They market the shit out of God of War, Spider-Man, you know, Last of Us, right?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Even though that game, I feel like,
yeah,
it's like, probably the lower ones are the ones you just mentioned.
Yeah,
but
they still market it.
They still market the heck out of it.
I mean, you know, they're even marketing the Lego Horizon game, which, I mean, you know, sure,
I guess. How often are they not advertising The Last of Us?
I know, like, but yeah, for whatever reason in my brain, like, they marketed the shit out of No Man's Sky, and that was an indie game, basically,
mm-hmm.
right? But for Concord, I felt like they never really marketed it in the way they wanted it to. Maybe it was because it's like a $400 million budget, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
all right, we're already kind of over budget. It's been 8 years. Let's just try to get this thing out and hopefully get a return. And unfortunately, that did not happen.
Did not.
Whether it's because of the devs just not, you know, seeing the changing tide of the hero shooter genre and going, okay, let's try to change some things up. Let's try to make some things different here instead of just, you know, playing a bit safe and loose.
Mm-hmm.
Not safe and loose, but very, you know, not loose, but playing it very safe and hopefully, you know, things will work out. But unfortunately, it didn't. And,
no, it didn't.
You know, the big news I think came out that recently was that Firewalk Studios got shut down, right?
And left a lot of people unemployed.
Yeah, and that's kind of a...
Which is also just a big issue within the current gaming sphere.
Exactly,
it's
yeah.
Just, like, a lot of people are losing their jobs.
Yeah, that's sort of, yeah, if there's any big overarching thing in, you know, this whole, like, Concord situation, it's a microcosm, I guess is the word I'm looking for,
mm-hmm.
of the overall problem in gaming, which is, like, you know, you have rising budgets, you have rising expectations for more money, you know, like, obviously that's why a lot of games have been now priced at $70,
mm-hmm.
to keep up with, you know, the huge budget of these games, right, and, you know, we've seen a lot of flops and stuff. I mean, hell, another live service shooting game killed the Justice League, Suicide Squad, right?
Oh, dude.
That was
dead.
Warner Brothers, I think, said it was like $200 million they lost on that game.
It did. They did lose
yeah.
a lot of money.
So, you know, it's just another one of those.
It's a corporate thing where they see something that can just easily generate money. And they just kind of want to put as much into it because they believe that they're going to get enough money back. But the problem with that is, in the gaming sphere, oftentimes, you know, a game doesn't have to be as big budget to be so successful.
Yeah.
And you need to build a repertoire with the audience for them to go enough into it to trust, for you to get the earn their trust for a new for a product like that. Even if it's like a new versioning franchise, I'm going to use this one specifically as an example. The new game Metaphor from Atlus.
Right.
That is a new game, and it is doing, from my understanding, very well. It is a new game from a publisher that has been knocking it out of the park with a lot of their, you know, RPG games. Mm. You know, Persona, Shin Megami Tensei have been, like, amazing. And this is just their second game of the year.
Yeah, their pillars, those games are, like, their pillars, which I feel like they make a lot of money. I mean, hell, what was it, Persona 3 Remake or whatever, Reload, right?
Yeah.
Came out earlier this year, right? Did a lot of good stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a remake of a very popular Persona game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you can have those things and then release your brand new, like, franchise, but, you know, probably on a smaller budget, but at least you sort of, you get it marketed that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, Capcom, I feel like, has done pretty well in terms of that sort of thing, too.
Cause, oh, yeah.
I mean, it's probably because it's on my mind, but Monster Hunter, you know, has been kind of like a big franchise for them as of late.
Started off as a, like, what is it, a DS game?
I think so, like, PSP probably,
yeah.
I think. And PlayStation, I think, like, TS2, but yeah, it went to handheld, obviously it came back with Monster Hunter World. I think that's when it got really big, because...
And that's a live service game, too.
Yeah, like, all the Monster Hunter games now, like, World, Rise, and the new one, Wilds, right, are gonna be, like, live service games, but they also have, like, an interesting loop of, like, gameplay, right? You're having to fight the monsters, they're pretty challenging, you gotta get the right gear and stuff,
yeah.
You know, it's a satisfying loop, gameplay loop, but as well, you know, it also lets Capcom, I think, work on other games that aren't as, probably, say, big budget. I mean, obviously, Street Fighter, big, right?
Yeah.
I know people have problems.
Resident Evil, big.
Yeah, I know people have problems with the monetization in Street Fighter, but, yeah, you know, it's still very popular, makes
yeah.
a lot of money, Resident Evil games have been making a lot of money, right? It's sort of the thing of, like, just managing your expectations, because I think another company, off the top of my head, that always has these weird expectations of the games, Square Enix.
Yeah, they do.
Square Enix often always just, like, sets way too high of expectations and always report losses about their games.
What was that one game that came out that died?
I think it was, which was another live service shooting game. I think it was it Foam Stars?
Has that game come out yet?
It did come out.
What happened to it?
I don't remember, but it kind of... Part of my brain just goes into, like, not really a whole lot. Let me just double-check if it did come out this year. Or was it Foam Runners?
It was Foam Stars.
Foam Stars, okay.
But that wasn't the game
I was
talking about, though.
Because that's, like, a Splatoon-type game or whatever.
Yeah,
it came out. Very mixed reviews.
Is it still being played, though? Check the Steam numbers.
Check the Steam numbers. No, I think, yeah, they might be shutting down soon, I think it looks like.
That's tragic. I mean, it didn't catch my interest. I had no interest in playing it, but that's so sad. You know?
Well, I mean, yeah, but at the same time, it was very...
Also, like, I feel like the art was fine, but there were so many times where I kind of got NFT vibes from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see what you mean, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah, another...
But it wasn't that game, it was Forspoken.
Forspoken, yeah.
That was another game that they put... That was another game that they...
That was a Sony exclusive game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the game,
That everyone was shitting on it.
Because of the writing, right? Like, you know.
Like, it was very, like, Joss Whedon writing.
Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
Because a very different genre, right? Because that was a very single-player game.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the multiplayer game we're talking about, right? But
yeah.
Yeah, like,
but it continues on to the point that the main problem that Sony had with this is they were trying to bank a lot of money, not understanding that there is a change in, like, you know, the environment for these kind of games. That if you try to, that honestly, from the looks and sounds of it, is that Concord didn't really offer anything new and different.
That's what a lot of reviews talked about. Even, yes, it looks good. but there wasn't anything to distinguish it from other games, right? I mean, I know people have problems with like the character designs, but that's a whole other thing.
For me, like art design and that's always like a personal preference, right?
Yeah, like at the end of the day, when it comes to video games, I always feel like it doesn't really matter what your game looks like. If it's fun, if it's engaging, people will play it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, right? Because, I mean, I think there's probably people that still go out and play, like, that will go out and play old retro games, right?
Because
it is fun, right? If the game's not fun, why bother?
Exactly.
Right?
And, like, it's, I mean, yeah, like I said, this moment of, like, them trying to bank on something. When, in reality, the thing about video games, and the thing about, it's also going to go into, like, a lot of other things, too. You need to establish an audience, right? It always has to start small. It never has to go in too big, because once you go in too big, you don't, you know, reach that level of height. You know, Star Wars didn't start massive. It took a while for it to be as massive.
You're not wrong.
That's the same thing with everything. Marvel, DC, you know, all those things. And, like, you know, a lot of companies are trying to bank on a lot of money because they know gaming gets a lot of money. Like, even games that I'm like, oh no, that game was pretty fun. And I'm sure it sold pretty well, but it never sold like the amount that they wanted. Like Square Enix's whole thing with Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, they're disappointed by the sales of it or whatever.
And then you look at the numbers, like,
yeah, that's still like a million copies for like an RPG game. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. But they overestimated it.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's always, Square Enix has always had that problem, in my opinion, mm-hmm. right? They always over, you know, think of, like, how much money this is going to make or whatever, mm-hmm. or, like, you know, stuff like that, right?
I think they were even disappointed by Final Fantasy VII,
was it Rebirth?
Rebirth sales, and I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, they did good, but I think part of the reason why, I think Rebirth maybe not as well as, you know, the original remake is because
remake set the standard.
Remake, yeah, definitely set the standard, but also you feel like you have to play remake to play Rebirth. And
that's true.
You can't get more people unless you play remake, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the sad, I think, truth of making Final Fantasy VII remake into three separate games, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I get it, big ass game. It probably wouldn't have gotten released if you made the entire game all at once, right?
It is a very long game.
It makes sense. I understand that completely. But you're just asking for a bit of lesser sales because you have to get that audience to buy that first game to understand the second game and then subsequently the other games, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how
Remember, they did release Rebirth on PC.
Yeah, because then, well, no. No, I think you're talking about Remake, right?
They re-released
it on PC along with the that extra side story with Yuffie,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know, to hype up Rebirth, right? Because that way you can get people to buy Remake again, especially new players,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, I'm assuming that's the whole reason why they did it, but it still didn't give them the numbers that they wanted, right?
Which is, again, the main problem that has happened with Concord. Concord is the prime example of the main, like, systemic problem with the video game industry right now. Trying to put too much money into something that is not really being paid attention to the consumer.
Yeah, like, it is putting your cart, you know, like, isn't it the saying, like, putting all your eggs in one basket?
Yeah.
Before you even know, like, except here, it's like, you probably even know
mm-hmm.
what this game is going to be, right? Like, before you even realize, like, okay, we're following the Heroes of Jonathan, this surely is guaranteed money, but in the 8 years it took you to develop this game, the Hero Shooter genre is no longer guaranteed. You have to innovate. You have to be better. But unfortunately, the game did not innovate enough
mm-hmm.
for most audiences. And I know, before we end this talk or whatever, like, there's going to be probably some people going the whole go woke, go broke thing. I don't really care to give that much thought.
No.
I mean, realistic. Again, I don't think most people, again, Sony did not market this game, and I think that's one of the primary reasons why it didn't do well. Because, again, I didn't know this game was even coming out, right?
I only remember that one trailer that I swear, again, as I said in the earlier of this episode, was the only thing I've ever seen about it.
Like, I don't think the character designs doomed the game or whatever, or if they had, like, you know, better things. I mean, character designs in Art Souls can help get more interest, but will that retain players?
Mm.
Who's really to say? I mean, what was Stellar Blade that came out? You know, the game that's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, that game.
You know, a bit of eye candy, right? Mm-hmm. Made from Korea or whatever. Definitely got eyes on it, but it probably didn't make more money than they expected. But how much people are, like, enthusiastic? Like, are we getting a sequel? Have they announced something like that?
Probably not.
I mean, from what, granted, I played the game, and from what I got from it, I haven't finished it, but from what I've played so far, it definitely just feels like Baby's First Dark Souls. That's not an insult, by the way.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right, because, like...
It's not an insult. It's a big... It feels like a mixture of Dark Souls, some DMC, and maybe a bit of Nier, but...
I mean, that's when I was talking about it with a friend, and we were both saying, like, it feels like Baby's First... I said Baby's First Nier Automata. Like, you're just better off playing Nier Automata. And he's like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, I...
Not to diss the game.
No, not to diss the game. I enjoyed my time with it so far.
It looks like a fun game, but
you
not
know,
for me.
The lore is interesting. I won't lie. That is, you know...
Yeah.
But, again, you know, it's like... But at the same time, as I'm saying this, Baby's First Dark Souls is a market.
Yeah.
Dark Souls-like games... Right, have been coming out, have been pretty successful. Nioh, right? Mm-hmm. Lies of P that came out, was it earlier this year or was it last year?
Last year.
Last year, yeah. All those games have gotten popular because of like how people like the Dark Souls type of gameplay. So releasing
and
one
it became
that
even more popular with what was before Elden Ring?
Was it Bloodborne?
No. Bloodborne was already
Dark
old.
Dark Souls 3?
No.
Demon Souls remake?
No, probably Demon Souls was at some point, but there was another. I think it was. There was another game between those two that caught a lot of people. I'm not counting Armored Core because I feel like Armored Core is one of those specific groups of people that will play that game.
I said Nioh already. Didn't
was it Nioh?
I don't know if it was.
Well,
but
to the point is that you have like they are yes Dark Souls games style right. But they have their own uniqueness to it. Again, the main problem with, like, Concord is that, like I said, it is this, you know, very much, and not, sadly, a thing where no one was paying attention to the changing tides of what's going on with the hero shooter. Had they known, I think Concord would have probably come out a lot better, but no one was very much interested in this game.
No, yeah, and I think that works into, say, the toxic positivity that's been reported, right? You know, just all this, like, you know, it's just like, again, it is a prime example of the problems.
Hubris.
I guess hubris, but also problems with the larger AAA gaming scene, right? Overinflated budgets, you know, sort of a not understanding of the market, leading to just very flop games, and you're kind of just, like, screwing people out of jobs, and which is, I think, the real, at the end of the day, sad part of it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Granted, you have other companies that have done way better at this stuff. I mean, Nintendo still, I think, understands more than anything how to make games and how to make sure they are budgeted and marketed appropriately
mm-hmm.
so that they can get the success that they need,
yeah.
right? That sort of thing. But, yeah, it's just one of those sad things. It's a sad... I mean, heck, we almost had something similar with Xbox, right? With Tango Game Studios, right?
Oh, yeah, no, that was sad.
Where they had to, essentially, like, these... Well, they were going to close it down, but then somebody else bought it, right?
Yeah.
That was you know, thankfully that ends on a happy note.
Yeah.
And they're going to probably be making more...
games like High Five Rush.
Yeah.
But which, I don't know. The question is whether or not they'll release it on Xbox.
I mean, I feel like they would anyway.
They have to, yeah.
Just to get a bit of a market.
They're still pretty small.
Yeah. But yeah, main thing though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is just, you know, that's just the story of Concord, I guess. That's the way it ends now, is just a studio getting shut down with their only, by the way, the only game they've made was Concord. Nothing else.
That's even more tragic.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my god.
It's just kind of crazy when you think about it.
And, I mean, the only thing I can say, and to end on a positive note, is I hope that those who worked on it are able to find better jobs and, you know, be able to sustain themselves and their families in all form in any way. But, yeah, no, I think this has been a very good episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, I think, you know, we're putting a cap on this, because I don't think there's much that we can say that won't just be, like, a repeat of what you've been saying. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and there's a link tree on Instagram for all you audio listeners out there to check us out. We also have a YouTube, where you can like, comment, subscribe, you know, put this, you know, if you guys want to go for that, I happily would appreciate it. And we do have a Patreon for anyone out there who wants to support us. Anyways, Concord was a sad tragedy that did not need to happen, but hopefully we can learn from it. But yeah, that's all I gotta say for that. You?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, it's sad for the people that worked on it, but overall, it's just a symptom of just the various problems of the gaming industry, and you feel like, you know, maybe there'll be a second video game crash, who knows, but there has to, you know, the camel, the straw on the camel's back is going to have to break at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Who knows? Anyways, it's me, your boy Eli.
Be Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.